Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. It is of this time, the time of this recording, almost 7 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on Wednesday, that's hump day, to all the people traveling through space on April the 14th, 2021. Can you believe it, Bo Blimp Doc? And if you are listening on the radio, Bo Blimp Doc, if you are listening on a shortwave radio on 5950 kilohertz on either Saturday or Sunday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Sunday, Monday morn, 3 a.m. UTC, right? It is the Planetary Status Report with your friend Dan. And we are here to explore the nature of reality as it bends and warps itself around our own shattered hearts. We will listen to the ancient poetry that is sung by whales. We will stand forth on the cliff of tomorrow and peer into the depth of the darkness and remember that we are the children of scorn. We are the children of scorn, brothers and sisters. We are the children of scorn. Indeed, if you are listening on shortwave, I'm going to drink a little coffee here if that's okay. If you are listening on a shortwave radio, it is probably the WRMI station out of Miami, Okeechobee. Out of the great Okeechobee, it raises its weary head of electrolytic super fantasticalness and radar love. You're listening to 5950 kilohertz, or yeah, 5950 kilohertz on your shortwave radio. And it might be Saturday night, it might be Sunday night, it might be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it might be 3 a.m. UTC, and all of those might be one and the same because the universe is folding. The shortwave radios are bending through space and time, absorbing photonic energy and neutronium from the electron zone. Your own signals are beginning to reach Jupiter. If you're a ham radio operator, you're talking to Jupiter. Hello, Jupiter. Are you sending us your love? The notes for this show, if you're listening on shortwave, can be found at dfgtc.org/shownotes. If you want to complain to me about how terrible a person I am, good for you. You can email me at me@iamsully.com. You can read more about me and some friends of mine, like my good friend Jim, at igluluau.com. And if you want to hear more of these podcasts, and full disclosure, many of them contain explicit language and lewd scenarios. But if you want to listen to more of these podcasts, you just have to go to iamsully.com. iamsully.com, and you can listen to your heart's content, or you can download raw MP3s at dfgtc.org/mp3. That's dfgtc.org/mp3. And if you want to donate to this podcast slash broadcast, you can go to paypal.com/paypalme/Dr. Freckles. You don't have to donate. First topic is the race war part 2. And before we get into it too deep, I'm going to read an article. This comes from CBSNews.com. This article was published on April the 13th, 2021. And the authors are Brian Dax, Alex Sunby, Jordan Freeman. And the title of the article is, hold on a second. Okay, the title of the article is Second Night of Unrest After Fatal Police Shooting of Dante Wright Outside Minneapolis. And I read on. Trouble broke out again during a second night of protests outside police headquarters in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center, a day after one of the city's officers shot and killed 20-year-old black man Dante Wright during a traffic stop, CBS Minnesota reports. Brooklyn Center Police Chief Tim Gannon told a news conference Monday that the officer who shot Wright meant to use her taser. She meant to use her taser, but instead grabbed her gun. Kim Potter, a 26-year veteran of the force, has been placed on administrative leave. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension is investigating Wright's death. Sunday's shooting happened in the midst of the Derek Chauvin trial for the killing of George Floyd. A 7 p.m. curfew in Hennepin County didn't deter hundreds of demonstrators Monday as they chanted outside headquarters. The building was fenced off. Brooklyn Center officers outside were buttressed by state troopers and Minnesota National Guard members. After several dispersal orders were ignored, flashbangs and tear gas were deployed. Protesters countered with fireworks launched towards law enforcement. Wow. So very real. Tear gas fired every few minutes pushed many in the crowd away from the front of the building by around 9:30 p.m. Soon after, law enforcement began advancing on the protesters and firing rubber bullets. CBS Minnesota's Dave Schumann reported from the scene. At about the same time, the Brooklyn Center City Council voted to ban its officers from using rubber bullets and chemical irritants for crowd control. The crowd had thinned out a lot by 10:30 p.m. as law enforcement members widened their perimeter. Schumann tweeted that police had established a line at a gas station a few blocks away. Authorities said in an early morning briefing that approximately 40 people were arrested, some officers sustained minor injuries, and there were a few instances of looting. Well, there you have it, guys. Race war. Race war. Race war part two. Race war part two. Race war, the second racening. The Race War Part 2, yeah. So if you've listened to my podcast, The Little Saigon Report, or if you're new to the Planetary Status Report, here's some info on Dan. Until recently, I lived in Seattle. Until recently, I lived about a half a mile from every major hospital in Seattle. Until recently, I lived about a half a mile from that commie snake pit that came to be known as Chazchopia, Chopia, whatever lie the bankers that bankroll Black Lives Matter want you to believe. I went there. I took videotape. If you go to the notes for this show, if you're listening on shortwave, or you simply go to the notes for the podcast, if you're listening some other way, or if you just go to igluluau.com and search for Planetary Status Report number 9, you will see a link to a video I took last summer, where a City of Seattle employee admits that they were there to support the communists. They were there to support the looters. They were building barricades for them. They were building walls so they could draw and paint on. They were supporting them with water and food and resources. Tell me again about this organic uprising of Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Okay, it's not actually real. It's no more real than the little fiasco that happened on January the 6th. You remember that fiasco? Oh my gosh, Dan, the Republic was almost... No, buddy, if you want to pick a good date for the Republic being destroyed, 9/11's not bad. Some, you know, when we closed the gold window in 19, I think, 71 or 72, Boblimtok. That's an even better day, but maybe when the Federal Reserve was founded, that's a better day, right? Or maybe, perhaps, on the day the Constitution was signed and they stole all your freedom and then they sold it back to you for the price of blood and slavery and empire. You pick your day when the Republic fell, but it didn't fall on January the 6th, 2021. That was a psyop, brothers and sisters. These little protests, let me give you a piece of advice. When it's serious, when it's real, you're going to see anchored triple-strand concertina wire. It will be unmistakable. If you are a protester and you happen to fall into anchored triple-strand concertina wire, aka razor wire, for a reason. If you happen to be a Black Lives Matter protester and you fall into anchored triple-strand concertina wire, you will be shredded up. That really nice uniform they gave you at the meetup where you're going to get paid and whatnot and get your money for your little acting job, and don't worry, you're wearing a mask so no one will ever know. If you happen to fall backwards or forwards into anchored triple-strand razor wire, you will remember that event. It won't be like being hit over the head by a rubber cone or falling backwards on cue with a little plastic rubber tube to make it look like you're bleeding. If you actually come into contact with anchored triple strand concertina, if you happen to have a bad day and it cuts you the wrong way, you can actually get killed. That crap can slit your throat. When you see anchored razor wire, you will know it's beginning to get real. When you see checkpoints with anchored razor wire and Humvees, which are, you know, crew served by soldiers and a 50 caliber machine gun, then, brothers and sisters, you will know it's real. Currently, we're still in the fake stuff. Currently, we're still in Les Mis, really cheap version of Les Mis, Race War Part 2. And I'm sure, listen, there's going to be a new Hooker Republic in Capitol Hill, Seattle. Don't worry, Seattle. Within a few days, the 8th or the 9th, Hooker Republic will rise up. There will be a new Hooker Republic of Chop Chaz in Capitol Hill. Will Lord Raz rise again? Of course Lord Raz will. Lord Raz will rise again, and he'll lead his frunken folk to the center of Capitol Hill, Seattle. He'll hang out in the parks, and he'll hang out on Broadway. He'll take over all the necessary parks. He'll drink water from the fountain. Lord Raz will save us. Yes, indeed. Will the Joglamite folk of Redmond drink jello blood as they write bad code for dildos at Microsoft headquarters? I ask you, will Lord Raz rise again? Thank you. Will Lord Roz rise again to lead another hooker republic of Chastopia? Will there be princes and queens that dance a nightly dance in the summertime rain? Will there be Seattletonians dressed in all sorts of multicolored outfits, swimmering and swummering and slumbering in the slunkus? Will they serve the soup along the street? Will they serve a stew made of human flesh? Will Chastopia rise again? Will Chastopia rise again? I don't know, guys, but the race war is bullshit. Sorry for swearing. I know that was a bad word, but the race war is crap. It's BS. It's a lie. I know. You're saying, Dan, are you saying that Black Lives Matter and Antifa are funded? Not only are they funded, brothers and sisters, they are orchestrated. They are managed. They are pretty much out of the same playbook that Operation Chaos from the 1960s came from. Okay, the same stuff the FBI and the CIA was doing back then. And yes, Hollywood loves remakes, so does the CIA. The CIA loves remakes. And the CIA loves pulling from its old files. It loves pulling from its old blackmail files. It's kind of like the whole Dr. Seuss thing. I know there are people that look at the Dr. Seuss thing and say, I didn't know he was so racist, really. I didn't know. But I mean, he was a cartoonist, okay? In general, and I've said this before, I'll say this again, some of the most racist people you'll ever meet are cartoonists. Real numbers are infinite. Real numbers are infinite. Actual numbers are quite constrained. That's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Real numbers are infinite, and actual numbers are quite constrained. And once again, if you're listening on shortwave, this is 5950 kilohertz from WRMI in Miami, and this is a quote from Dr. Freckles. Real numbers are infinite. Actual numbers are quite constrained. What does that mean? Well, first and foremost, when I say real numbers, or when Dr. Freckles does, he is on a basic level referring to all actual numbers that exist on the number line, negative, positive, and fractional, all real numbers. Any number that can theoretically be represented is a real number. Which also includes fractions, my friends. Fractions are numbers too. 4.5 is as much a number as 4 or 5, you know? But actual numbers, these are interesting. These are numbers that come into existence. And actually, the actual numbers, and I know actually has become a thing on Twitter and social media, so people say, oh, actually, okay. When I say actual numbers, I mean numbers that exist. For example, I am 51 years old. Okay, 51 is a number. If you think I'm the first one to ever use the number 51, you'd be wrong, brothers and sisters. So even though 51 is its own unique number, it shows up in a lot of places, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? So there are lots of numbers that come into existence, and they're not necessarily unique at all. But what makes them interesting is that they are actual numbers that represent something. Could be a street number, could be a phone number, could be your age, could be the price of a stock on Tuesday, could be the price of Apple in 2025. That price is -1700. I'm kidding. We won't get into minus numbers until we get into minus interest rates and I suddenly become the boblimpdoc boblillionaire of old-fashioned Bobloviach, Utah. Yeah. Actual numbers come into existence because they represent something real that has happened, a phenomenon, okay? Page number 25 is a real number. Now, that number shows up lots of places. 25 is also the age of somebody. 25 could be the number of homes you've owned or the number of women you've made love to, right? You could have made love to 25 women. That's not true for me, brothers and sisters, but I know there are people out there who've made love to at least 25 women. So real numbers, there's an infinite number of those. But actual numbers that are used, that come into existence in some, you know, practical, concrete sense, and again, because of this, they're often reused because there are many things that can be called 51. You can have 51 chickens. You can have 51 dogs. There are some people that have made love to 51 women. And that is not me, but man, I bet that's interesting. That's an actual number. It also implies that the universe of actual numbers, though reused, is also a finite list. It isn't an infinite list at all. If someone says to you, Dan, if you store numbers in your database, doesn't that mean you have to store all numbers? And all I can say is no, buddy. All I store is stuff that happens, okay? If it's a transactional database in a healthcare context, I'll store the price, the fee schedule. I'll store the transaction itself from the UB-92, and that's healthcare speak for the bill you never see, slave. You see an EOB, an explanation of benefits. You never actually see the bill, slave. Because guess what? Slaves don't need to see bills. Yeah, you see an EOB, slave. You see an EOB. Yeah, actual numbers represent things. Real numbers could be anything because they simply exist. And they do exist, even if they haven't been computed. Now, of course, you could say, well, Dan, how does something exist if it's never been computed? And that is a fair argument. That is a good philosophical argument. There are mathematicians who consider themselves more pragmatists, and they would say, numbers, or rather a series of numbers that cannot be calculated, does not yet exist. On the other hand, there are mathematicians that say that any number series that can be defined, for example, prime numbers, what are prime numbers? Prime numbers are divisible by themselves and one, right? They're only divisible by themselves and one. So that's a prime number, right? It cannot be divided in any other way. Yeah. And you know, prime numbers are interesting because in many forms of encryption, you use prime numbers to actually either get at the encryption or to create it. So they're interesting. So there are mathematicians who would say that if a number can be defined, if it can be defined in a formal sense, even if you don't calculate every single number, it exists. Those numbers exist. They're not make-believe. We simply have no need to calculate them. Next topic, because this one's boring. Oh, when I was a kid and we sat at the dinner table, we had a shaker of salt. We had a shaker of pepper. We had a shaker of asbestos. This is a quote from Dr. Freckles. When I was a kid at the dinner table, we had a shaker of salt, a shaker of pepper, and a shaker of asbestos. Now, I don't really want to go into this quote from Dr. Freckles too much. I think it's a general kind of statement on the age we're living in, this very strange age of where some things take priority as international health concerns, like the magical COVID. I don't know what to tell you, folks. You know, where I'm moving from, where I used to live, I don't really see the evidence for it. But there are people that believe in the magical COVID just like they believe in the race war. Now, I believe these are psychological operations. I think that their purpose is to confuse and to stress people out. Of course, currently, the queen of all psyops is the COVID. It is this, you know, international pandemic. But if you noticed last spring when people started to wise up and protest and say to themselves, maybe this COVID's really the flu, that's when the race war showed up. That's when the race war showed up to save the day. And now it's the race war phase. Have you chosen your clan? Yeah, in this day and age, you might want to have a shaker of asbestos at your dinner table. If somebody says, hey man, I really support BLM, and they say, where's the pepper? You just point at that shaker of asbestos. You can just have some asbestos on your eggs, buddy, if you're going to talk about the commies. Next topic. So if you follow my podcasts at all, or if you followed my previous podcasts before they were broadcasts on shortwave, you would probably know that I'm a Christian. I'm not probably that great a Christian. Most days I wake up and wonder. I wonder, you know, I wonder and I marvel at my own mistakes more so than just simply the things in the world I see that disturb me. So I don't claim to be a really great Christian. But I am a Christian. So this next topic, we all need to be careful because I'm going to propose something I don't believe is true. Because at this point in time, when I look at the world, when I look at how it's currently functioning, and then when I hear the arguments for how this can go on forever, I'm basically left with a couple basic options. Yes, there's a God. And yes, there is spiritual warfare. And yes, there are strange things afoot. And yes, there are signs in the sky. And yes, the oceans are starting to boil in the following sense that methane is bubbling up to the Arctic Ocean. So from my Christian perspective, a lot of things make sense to me. And again, I'm not saying it's the end times. I'm not saying it's Revelation. I don't really know. I just know that if I see it from that angle, much of what I am seeing, I can understand. But if there were no God, if God did not exist, if there were no God, I'm left to believe that this might be a simulation. Now, I'm going to read an article. I might have read this on a previous podcast, but if I did, you can forgive me. This article comes from Scientific American, and it was published on October 13th, 2020, That's not that many months ago, brothers and sisters. The title of the article is, Do We Live in a Simulation? Chances are about 50-50. Subtitle, Gauging whether or not we dwell inside someone else's computer may come down to advanced AI research or measurements at the frontiers of cosmology, blow blimp doc. The article was written by Anil Ananthaswamy and again published October 13, 2020. And I read on. It is not often that a comedian gives an astrophysicist goosebumps when discussing the laws of physics. But comic Chuck Nice managed to do just that in a recent episode of the podcast Star Talk. The show's host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, had just explained the simulation argument, the idea that we could be virtual beings living in a computer simulation. If so, the simulation would most likely create perceptions of reality on demand rather than simulate all of the reality all the time. Much like a video game optimized to render only parts of a scene visible to a player. Maybe that's why we can travel faster than the speed of light, because if we could, we'd be able to get to another galaxy, said Nice, the show's co-host, prompting Tyson to gleefully interrupt. Before they can program it, the astrophysicist said, delighting at the thought, so the programmer put in that limit. Such conversations may seem flippant. But ever since Nick Bostrom of the University of Oxford wrote a seminal paper about the simulation argument in 2003, philosophers, physicists, technologists, and yes, comedians have been grappling with the idea of our reality being a simulacrum. Some have tried to identify ways in which we can discern if we are simulated beings. Others have attempted to calculate the chance of us being virtual entities. Now, a new analysis shows that the odds that we are living in base reality, meaning an existence that is not simulated, are pretty much even. That's 50-50 to you and I, brothers and sisters, Bo Blimp Doc. But the study also demonstrates that if humans were to ever develop the ability to simulate conscious beings, the chances would overwhelmingly tilt in favor of us too being virtual denizens inside someone else's computer. A caveat to that conclusion is that there is little agreement about what the term consciousness means, let alone how one might go about simulating it. In 2003, Bostrom imagined a technologically adept civilization that possesses immense computing power and needs a fraction of that power to simulate new realities with conscious beings in them. Given this scenario, his simulation argument showed that at least one proposition in the following trilemma must be true. First, humans almost always go extinct before reaching the simulation's savvy stage. Second, even if humans make it to that stage, they are unlikely to be interested in simulating their own ancestral past. And third, the probability that we are living in a simulation is close to one. Before Bostrom, the movie The Matrix had already done its part to popularize the notion of simulated realities. And the idea has deep roots in Western and Eastern philosophical traditions, from Plato's cave allegory to Zhuang Zhu's butterfly dream. More recently, Elon Musk gave further fuel to the concept that our reality is a simulation. The odds that we are in base reality is one in billions, he said at a 2016 conference. You know what, folks? I'm going to let you guys read the rest of this article. And if you want to find the rest of this article, you just have to go to, if you're listening off of shortwave, 5950 kilohertz WRMI Miami. If you're listening this way, to get the show notes, you just pick the right date, which is the date you're listening, and go to dfgtc.org/show notes. Find the notes for that date. Those are the notes you need. You can read the rest of this article from Scientific American yourself. Now, I said that for some of you, this might be troubling because I don't believe this is a simulation. I believe in God. And because I believe in God, and because I don't believe God creates lies, I don't believe this is a simulation. I think that there are people in the history of religion who can fit the simulation theory into their belief system because they believe that they are being deceived. I think that a lot of Gnostic spiritualists have believed in the past that there was a great dark force called the Demiurge, and its goal was to deceive, and it deceived us everywhere. And so the world we lived in was a world of deception. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's a simulation. I cannot prove it. I simply don't believe it. But I look around the world right now, especially with all this COVID nonsense, and it does sometimes irk at me. It irks at me, friends. It irks at me, how ridiculous is this right now? How broken, how sideways. I woke up this morning, there was snow on the ground, but it was like warm out, kinda. Yesterday afternoon, there was no snow, but it was cold as heck. I've had good luck recently. Really good luck. Luck so good it makes no sense unless it might be a simulation. Yeah, I've had some good luck. I've run into some people I'd never met before who turned out to be extraordinarily kind. I ended up in a place after Seattle that feels less insane. People where I'm at right now are not really very stressed out about the monkey herpes, aka the COVID, aka the Rona, aka the great lie. They're not so stressed out about the great lie. And all this is really good, my friends, but it makes me wonder, what if I am in a simulation? What if I'm in a simulation, my friends? What if we are all trapped in a game controller? In the year 4573 ZX-ray, the Simulac people of the great oceans of Tromulac 9 had their annual celebration of the coming moons. And during the celebration, on sale at every Trobec store was a Dremulai 17 handheld game controller. For decades, children played these virtual reality sim games, super advanced, quantum interface, trans-consciousness, transcontinental, transliterative. By the year 8946 ZX-ray Gulf, the landfills of Trebulon 16, the landfills of the Yoltric people, the billions of years in the future, these people, they dumped all their handheld game sims. By the year 458697 times 10 to the 14th power, Boblimpdoc, there's a handheld controller still left in a landfill on a planet on the edge of the known universe. As the universe approaches heat death, this one last handheld game controller controls a game simulation. And this game simulation is called Planet Earth, Boblimpdoc. And in the game, The recorded time is the year 2021, Bo Blimp Doc. But even though the people inside the game controller in the landfill think everything's fine, the landfill is filling with water. Water is entering the game controller and corrupting the memory, Bo Blimp Doc. The battery that was powered by a trianium superfusion drive is beginning to go bad, Bo Blimp Doc. You live in a game controller. You live in a game controller in a landfill at the edge of the universe on the verge of heat death. You live in an old piece of garbage that was thrown away by aliens billions of years ago. I mean, maybe that's true. I'm not saying that that's not true. That could be true. But wouldn't that be weird? Wouldn't it be strange, my friends? What if we lived in a game controller? What if our entire civilization is just a few billion cycles of iteration within a super quantum sim? That would explain a lot, is all I'm going to say. Next topic, ghost guns. If you don't know what a ghost gun is in all of the lingo of gun control, I'm going to drink a little bit more coffee, brothers and sisters. If you don't know what a ghost gun is a gun that is manufactured in such a way that there are no serial numbers for which you can track the weapon properly. Sometimes you'll buy pieces that have serial numbers, but often ghost gunners will, you know, use a little bit of acid, a little bit of heat, a little bit of ingenuity, and they will make those serial numbers go away, Bo Blimp Doc. There's lots of ways of doing that. You ever hear of a plasma torch, Bo Blimp Doc? Lots of ways of getting rid of serial numbers, needless to say. A ghost gun is a gun that's essentially manufactured in the black market. Now, I say the black market. Some ghost gunners would argue it's gray market because there really isn't any quote-unquote law governing it, but I don't really get caught up in that crap. I know folks like to talk in terms of black market versus gray market versus white market. I keep it really simple. There's the marketplace the government thinks and believes it controls, and then there's everything else. There's the marketplace that there is some feasible way within which the government can regulate what's going on. And then there's everything else. And yes, the government can send in cops to break down the doors of your farmhouse because you're selling unpasteurized milk. And yes, the cops can be sent to your basement because you're currently creating, you know, handheld tasers, you know. And yes, the cops can be sent to some place where you're making one piece of a ghost gun. You might just make one piece. You might just make the lowers. And we discussed this in a previous podcast broadcast, but you might just make one piece of the ghost gun. And yes, the cops might go after you. And yes, they might try to throw you in jail. But the reality is, there is no feasible way for them to stop it. That is the black market, brothers and sisters. The best definition of the black market is that region of commerce that the state could never feasibly prevent from existing. They couldn't. They couldn't, not without destroying themselves, not without turning every single neighbor against every other neighbor. And I'm sorry, guys, as dark as it is right now, and it is dark and it is dreary and it is tyrannical, I don't believe that the average American is ready to act like the average East German quite yet. A ghost gun is made of components sometimes manufactured by different people. Ghost guns are often made from components that are 3D printed, meaning utilizing plastic-based manufacturing that is printed instead of injection molded. Traditional plastics that are used in manufacturing are injection molded. That means there's a mold, and you inject the plastic into the mold. 3D plastics and 3D composites, you're actually layering layering, and in some cases, heat treating, but you're layering a material that will form and dry, that will cure and become hard, and that is how you create the plastic components. But the point is, many ghost guns are simply made by different people, different manufacturing techniques, and then they're pulled together, and whammo blammo, you have an AK-47 or a 12-gauge shotgun or a 9-millimeter pistol or maybe a 9-millimeter submachine gun. Because remember, brothers and sisters, it's the black market. Anyways, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Ghosts need guns the most. Yeah, that's a stupid one. Ghosts need guns the most. Next topic. Not going to talk anymore about ghost guns. DMX. I believe DMX is dead. I heard that he died. I kind of want to just double check because I just don't know. It's one of those stories in the last few days that it says he died April the 9th, 2021, White Plains Hospital, White Plains, New York. DMX is dead. So this is a article about the death of DMX. It was published on April the 9th. And again, they're saying he died, unless this is some rapper thing. I know you're probably saying, Dan, what does it mean, some rapper thing? I'm not going to read the whole article either. Headline: DMX got a heart attack after taking COVID-19 vaccine, rapper's family clarifies. And the article's by Vinod D'Souza. And if you're listening to this podcast broadcast on the radio, you're probably listening to 5950 kilohertz, and you're probably listening to it from WRMI in Miami. And if you are listening on shortwave, the notes for this podcast broadcast are at dfgtc.org/shownotes. Anywho, rapper DMX suffered a massive heart attack last Friday and was immediately rushed to the hospital, where it was revealed the singer was in a vegetative state and on life support. Only close family members were allowed to pay a visit. As per reports, DMX slipped into a coma after a heart attack due to a drug overdose, and the internet was swept with rumors a day after claiming blah, blah, blah. You guys can read the rest of this yourself. The key takeaway, though, is that the rapper's own family, DMX's own family, has come out and said that no, that this is not a true story. That in reality, this particular rapper, this hip hop artist, whatever the good name for this is, this particular rapper had the vaccine, the vaccination, and then I guess a week later has a heart attack and dies. Now, remember, brothers and sisters, every time somebody dies in this country, we instantly know it's the COVID because we use the PCR test in the wrong way. So by using the PCR test in the wrong way, we can figure out that everybody who dies has the COVID, every can of Coca-Cola has the COVID, probably just about every banana has the COVID. Yeah, that's sarcasm because we're not using the PCR test the right way. Just a separate topic. You can research on your own. But every time someone dies with the sniffles, they instantly tell us it's the COVID. Every time someone dies from the vaccination, there are 50 different explanations for some other cause. Are we listening yet? Are we hearing this? Are we recognizing the signal? I said this a few weeks ago. I'll say this again. The vaccine is either placebo or it's poison. Some of you are getting placebos. Why are you getting placebos? Because you're meant to go tell people the vaccine's safe, the vaccine is fine, the vaccine's a good time. Let's have a national telethon with Eddie Vedder for the vaccine. But I kind of think that that is crap. I think the vaccine is either poison or placebo. Some people get the placebo and they go tell people it's all fine, it's all good. And I don't think it's random who gets the placebo and who gets the poison. So if you're already a bit shocked by what happened to DMX and other people who've gotten the vaccine, don't be too shocked. We've seen this movie before. Our government has a history of doing stuff like this. So this shouldn't be that shocking, really. Last topic. This is the last topic for today. I'll let you guys research the DMX thing yourself further. I don't know what else I can say about it, except if you need to take the vaccine to keep your job, I understand. If you need to take the vaccine to keep your kids for some reason, I get it. If you're being pressured to do this, I understand and I get it. And I only hope you get the placebo. That's my hope. I'm not sure if you're pressured, whether or not something like this can be called the mark of the beast, because really, it really, if it's forced on you, it's a question mark. I'm not sure. The thing about the mark of the beast, it has to be a choice. So the vaccination is probably just a poison or a placebo. And if you are happen to be lucky enough to be on the right list, the right randomized location list, it could just be random luck, brothers and sisters. But if you have the random luck to get the placebo and not the poison, God bless. If you have the bad luck to get the poison and not the placebo, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. I would say the power of prayer, as unscientific as this might sound, the power of prayer is probably, no, not probably, it is greater than any earthly power. So if they make you take the vaccine and you feel sick, the only thing I can recommend is prayer. That's it. I don't think there are doctors and nurses who are going to help you. There might be. You might have a nurse down the street or a doctor down the street, and they might remember their Hippocratic Oath, and they might care about people being sick and caring for the sick. They might have good hearts and intelligence. I don't know. But if you go to the average emergency room in this country and you've been given the vaccine and you're feeling sick, they might put you on a respirator and you might end up dead in 10 days. Next topic. There is a crisis in the Rocky Mountains. There is a crisis in the Rocky Mountains. I was born in the time of the Raisin Kings, when Raven Knights filled the sky and harlotry was on the menu and old folks were taken to the swamps to die. I came from the weird places, the dark faces, knives and forks and all the heaven glory, and all was bloody and wet. I met a shaman named Ned, and he lived in the caves near Mount Harnoff, not far from Gringle, Colorado. His eyes were fiery red, his hair old and worn and gray. His skin was hard like old saddle leather, his mind was parasites and mead. You can't have the sacreds. You can't have the meadow way, he screamed. He punched me in the stomach and ran off into the desert, so I chased him. You can't breathe fire. You can't eat sand, he yelled. Pus began pouring from his ears. Blood from his anus. And he left me. He left me. Pus began pouring from his ears. Blood from his anus, and he left me. With a riddle and a map. And he left me as he faded away. With a riddle and a map. Go to Dixie, see the whale. An unkind grouping of ravens followed me through the caverns near Unk. We crawled on all fours looking for gold nuggets and cocaine and old hooker spice. We made a tent out of deer skin. We made a tent out of deer skin and frog liver, and we burnt the crystal fires and drank swill from the old keg. After 10 years hiking up the mountain, after 11 winters, after 11 winters of pain, after 11 winters of pain, after rock slides and avalanche and the old cast berries out of bloom, but just tart enough to give me a heart attack, after I gave flowers to the witches and the old maid set my dogs on fire, the wise old shaman appeared at the peak before the end of all world and the sky bridge of tomorrow, and his eyes still glowed, and he told me of the coming cataclysm, and he spoke. That old shaman spoke. There will be stone glowing red. There will be gases that birds can't breathe. They will fall dead. Old sheep will fall over and explode, and there will be no abode for the elk or the cougar. The sky villains. The sky villains. The sky villains covered in crimson web will swoop down and steal our hope. Old sailing ships will move across the desert and the Asian magic will spread. And there will be MSG for every bowl of chili. Soon, after the moon turns red and the old hound howls at the sky. And that old shaman left me. And I wept, and I died. This has been a, you know, a report of the planetary status report. This has been a report from planet Earth. We are in sector 17 of the Romuli zone. We have been conducting experiments and existential energy for 55 trillion years. We are the people that travel at almost the speed of light looking for old IPAs, old beer. Our rocket ships are made of rust and cattle and old dead animals. Our hearts are filled with fear. There's broken glass supper for everyone this dinner, Boblimp Doc. Everyone gets a chance to drink from the swill pardon. And when the time of Ungrumpulus comes, when the people of the Trebuch 7 region begin to ingriviate, when the basic vapors of your heart spill over, remember, you are listening to 5950 kilohertz WRMI out of Miami. It rises out of the great Okeechobee like a monster's head rises out of the pit. It is 5950 kilohertz. It's almost midnight or 4 a.m. UTC, right? Do you know where your French bulldog is? Is it in the great Okeechobee looking for a way out?